You know what? We need some lawyer music. You ready? Remember this? Anybody? Oh, I hear a briefcase opening. He struts in. This is a theme song from something called Judd for the Defense, which was a TV show. Yeah, we can't play Perry Mason every time we have a lawyer on the air. I don't remember their show at all. I can tell you, I'm not sure that Judd did so well. I think a lot of his defense people were actually still trying to appeal. Anyway, I wanted to play this because there's just something official about lawyers. And we have an unofficial lawyer today, and she's going to join us here. Her name is Carla Hamm. Carla, hello.
Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm really well. You don't remember Judd for the Defense? I won't even ask you that. I don't remember Judd.
I absolutely do not. Yeah, but I do know Perry Mason, thanks to the new show that's out.
Yeah, I saw that. Have you watched the new one?
Yeah, I have.
Is it good?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, none of these shows really are, you know, exactly authentic to the actual proceedings in real life. Yeah. But, the storyline was great.
You know, I was going to ask you. This is kind of a convoluted question. I was telling somebody a story the other night. I was at a party many years ago. You know, nobody knew each other. They said, "Well, yeah, what do you do for a living?" And I said, "You know, I'm a disc jockey." And the guy said, "Oh yeah, well, come on, do something weird." And I thought to myself, there must be people at parties when they say, "What do you do?" and you say, "I'm an attorney." Does that then change the conversation? What happens then?
It definitely changes the conversation for sure, especially if I'm at a party with musicians.
Yeah.
You know, some of them will automatically have an adverse reaction,
yeah,
to put it politely.
Yeah.
Then, you know, once they see that I'm not exactly your typical attorney, I kind of, you know, have my pulse in the music world. I hang out at a lot of, you know, rock and roll shows and get my, you know, information from that side rather than, you know, maybe from, you know, having my nose in a book all the time.
Why?
Then they become interested and they ask me a lot of questions, and I'm happy to answer some of them.
Why do they? But,
maybe, I don't know.
But the first thing you told me, I'm puzzled by. So so you have to sort of live down being an attorney with musicians.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, anytime somebody says attorney, they're used to people, you know, maybe from big record labels screwing them over,
yeah,
or, you know, some of them haven't had friendly experiences with attorneys in the past, or maybe they don't have one, so they just don't know how it works. But, yeah, I would say, for sure, entertainment attorneys, I have a biased opinion, but we're a lot cooler than the rest.
This is Carla Hamm. That's Carla with a C-C-I-R-L-A. Hamm, H-A-M. She's an attorney here, but don't let that get around. And you can contact her at her website. We're going to give you that. But I tell you what we're going to do here. I'm going to try to open another phone line here. So as we chat, and full disclosure here, it's just me in the studio. We are doing our pandemic pirate thing. I'm going to try to screen calls live, which means that I'll see a light blink maybe, and we'll go from there. So, all right, and it could be somebody ordering a pizza. Anyway, write this down. 773-907-0724. All right. That only works between 9 and 10 Central Time in the morning here. So it'll work today though. You call us up 773-907-0724, and we'll talk about music rights. So Carla, I was doing a little bit of just research, and the question was, what kind of rights do musicians have? And it appears to be not very many. Do you comment on that?
I guess it depends. I mean, it depends on the rights that they have. There's a lot of, it is a kind of a convoluted field in terms of music licensing and what rights musicians have and, you know, and what rights people have to use their music.
Right.
It can get kind of in-depth and complicated.
I know what, we won't mention CSAC. I don't want to put people to sleep. Most people, I think... we're inside baseball already. People have heard of ASCAP and BMI. Those are two music licensing firms, and we're talking about, by and large, songwriters, people that write songs, and those are their rights. I think I'm right so far. Anyway, as many of us know, Neil Young has a song I just played called "Keep on Rockin' in the Free World," and the Trumpsies have been playing that in their rallies. Which is, I don't even know what to make of that. And anyway, he filed suit let's see here. I want to say it was about 2 weeks ago. I know you were, I mean, that's right up your alley. So let me start from the beginning. You knew that there was something up on that when the actual suit dropped. Did that surprise you, or you were expecting that?
Well, I guess Neil Young has apparently been having issues with Trump using his music in his campaigns for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it's not just Neil Young either. It's Tom Petty, Rolling Stones, Elton John, just in general, a bunch of artists, I guess, signed a letter maybe about a month ago where they were writing to both the Republicans and the Democrats campaign committees to, you know, please ask for permission to use our songs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in general, you should ask permission. You have to ask permission to use artist songs with a couple of exceptions. I guess in the Neil Young case, there's a debate over whether or not Trump actually had permission to use the song. Neil Young is saying that he does not have permission at all. And when you're talking about ASCAP, a lot of times to play a song publicly, so at a campaign rally, for example, let's say it's in the United Center.
Right.
And United Center will pay a blanket license to ASCAP that enables their performers or whoever is speaking at the rally to use a song.
In general, so United Center they have a deal that covers all the artists that come in. Is that right?
Well, hopefully all the artists.
Yeah.
Maybe if the artists are signed up with ASCAP or BMI.
But it's
Bulls are playing in there.
Yeah, it's an. I'm sorry, it's an arena. I'm just trying to get it. It's an. I'll call it an arena license, kind of. Yeah.
Basically,
okay.
It's a venue license.
Yeah. Okay.
So they have that. So they'll have that even at a honky tonk in Nashville. They'll have a license that they pay ASCAP in case, you know, any of the bands that are playing live are covering somebody's song. If they're going to cover Johnny Cash's song, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the bands don't have to pay it. The venue pays for it. So that's how political campaigns have been. You know, they also get their own license in addition to that. But in case their own license fails, sometimes they say that, you know, they went through ASCAP through the venue. So that's how it came to be that they didn't ask Neil Young, you know, specifically. They just went through the license. You know, maybe Neil Young didn't know that they were going to use it.
One of the things that Trump plays, I think it's called the Devil's, I can't even remember that. This is
the
most
the
obscure.
Sidewalk.
Yeah, nobody even knows what it is. let me ask you a question. I don't want to get into a legal thing here. Let me explain what I think the term fair use means, and you can hit me over the head with a book.
All right, go ahead.
I would say this to people. I don't know if we let's say you write a book or something, and somebody quotes your book. They don't reprint it, but they say here's a paragraph, and they do that. That's called fair use. Well, literally, you use some of it. That's fair. Am I right so far?
It depends.
Yeah. Okay.
Like everything else in law, it depends. It depends. I mean, are you quoting the whole? You know, is it just a small portion of a large book? It depends on how much you use, the context you use, if you're making money off of it, that sort of thing.
So, it depends on how much there, how much.
Right.
Okay.
For literature.
Right.
That's not the same with songs.
Go ahead. It's not. Why
that's
not?
That's a big misconception with songs.
Yeah.
Is how much you use. I mean, again, so the thing with fair use is a defense. And the problem with it as a defense is that you only use it when you're in court and you've already been sued.
Yeah.
So, and it's on a case-by-case basis, too, you know, when they, you know, have to analyze it, the judge analyzes it, possibly the jury analyzes it, you know, whether not something is fair use. But with songs, no, it's a big misconception. You can't just, you know, maybe use a sample, you know, DJs sample people's songs a lot. You can't just use that for monetary gain. There are some exceptions, but it's a tightrope to walk, whether or not you can use it.
Yeah,
about this. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You mentioned sampling. There's an article here. I think it was in the maybe like in the New York Times last week about sampling. Go ahead. People just got up, including me. What is sampling?
Well, sampling is when you use a portion of a song in your song. So you take just, you know, it's part of a recorded song, you know, to mix it into your own song and use it as part of it and then, you know, possibly sell that song.
All right. Okay. There's a line between sort of a tribute and a theft, something like that?
Well, you can use parts of songs. So there's a case right now with Drake where he actually uses another person's song, the lines of it in his song to comment on it. So if you're using a portion of a material for comment or criticism, like in the news or, you know, in a journalistic sense or for educational purposes in a classroom, if you're using that part to criticize or comment on it, then you can use it as part of fair use. Again, you can't do the whole thing. You can't use the whole song. Well, depending. If in a classroom setting, you might be able to, but you can't just, you know,
Yeah. Well, geez, I mean, this is a magnolia that opens when I look at this stuff. Let me go back to this thing, the first question, this general sense of, you mentioned, I don't know, was it Tom Petty, Elton John, and some other people? So it's not just Neil Young. And I think I understood you to say it really depends on whether they have gotten permission, whether Trump or anybody has gotten permission. And is that a handshake? Is it a piece of paper, a document?
Well, it depends on the kind of permission that they need.
Yeah.
So, for example, there actually was a case in the McCain campaign with the artist Jackson Browne. He actually successfully sued the McCain campaign for using his song in a political commercial. Now, in a commercial, that's a different kind of license because you need to go directly to the artist. You would need to go directly to Jackson Browne for something called a sync license, which happens anytime you put music to a video. Jackson Brown won.
A sync license, S-Y-N-C-H?
Yes. Okay. Synchronization is the full term.
Okay. I'm trying to remember that. I sort of vaguely remember that. And what was the song that went into the commercial? Do you know offhand?
I can't remember. But the McCain campaign was trying to claim fair use. But he did not succeed.
Well, but part of this is who's making money, right? I mean, at the point where it becomes a commercial, then that I think that's where you're leading us there.
Part of it is them making money, and part of it is also the artists losing money, right? So if you know, they're associated with, you know, maybe their fans think that they're endorsing Trump, that Neil Young is endorsing Trump, that can have a massive effect on his right to publicity, is the legal term for it, when somebody else is using your name or image for commercial purposes against your wishes.
I'm not sure why I wasn't aware of this going on, but it seems like suddenly there's a lot of it. Is that am I imagining that?
From what I know, it's been going on for quite some time. I think it's just bubbling to the surface now, especially this Neil Young case, in terms of whether or not because Neil Young has had so many issues with Trump using his music in the past, he may have dropped out of ASCAP. So Trump might not have even gotten his permission in the first place. So it's kind of a complex little nuance in there as to whether or not the song will go through. And I think, you know, in the end, my general, just broad stroke opinion of all of this is copyright is actually in our Constitution. It was one of our fundamental rights by our founding fathers. They thought it was so important. So the idea that a political campaign from the sitting president could use a song without permission is kind of, you know, beyond me.
Even the powdered wig people saw this.
Even the powdered wig people, correct.
This is Carla Hamm. Carla, hang on just a second. I'll tell you what we're going to do here. Let's have a quick commercial message relating to the presidential election. And then I will attempt to take a phone call here if you have a question for Carla. You know, anything in the area that we're into right now. It is 773-907-0724. And like everything else on this show, it's experimental. So let's see what happens when you call. See if I can grab the thing and... Yeah, all right, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the, 47th President of the United States, I think.
All right.
Hi, sorry to keep you.
That's all right. You ready to go to work?
Oh my God, I'm so ready to go to work.
I was raised to take action. My mother knew that she was raising two black daughters who would be treated differently because of how they looked. Growing up, whenever I got upset about something, my mother would look me in the eye and ask, "So what are you going to do about it?" That's why, when I saw a broken justice system, I became a lawyer to try and fix it. It's why, during the foreclosure crisis, I took on the big banks as California's Attorney General. It's why, as United States Senator, I have fought to represent people like my mother, people who politicians often overlook or don't take seriously. Right now, America needs action. In the middle of a pandemic, the president is trying to rip away health care. While small businesses close, he's given breaks to his wealthy donors. And when the people cried out for support, he tear gassed them. America is in crisis, and I know Joe Biden will lead us out of it. He's a man of faith, decency, and character. He raised his family that way. I saw it firsthand with my good friend, Beau. As Joe says, we're in a battle for the soul of this nation. But together, it's a battle we can win. We just have to take action.
First of all, is the answer yes?
The answer is absolutely yes, Joe, and I am ready to work. I am ready to do this with you, for you. I'm just deeply honored, and I'm very excited.
That is Kamala Harris, the vice presidential nominee, who I don't know, I must have had a brain glitch here. I forgot for just a second that she is an attorney. Of course, she was attorney general in California. Carla Hamm coming back here. Carla, what about it? Lawyers are either their heroes or villains.
Do you... I guess it depends on what side you're looking at it from, right?
Yeah. When I heard Kamala talking, she's, you know, she rolled up her sleeves. That's a compelling message. But, and then you go to a party with a bunch of, musicians, and there it's a different thing there. So, I got a question here, and I'll try to do a phone call here if you're listening to us. Between 9 and 10 Central Time on the radio here, 773-907-0724. All right, call up and let it ring, and we'll see what we can do. We never actually tried this before. Carly, you remember the Ed Sullivan Show? I won't date you, but I do remember it.
I've seen some Ed Sullivan in my time.
I'm going to do my Topo Gigi, and we'll both burst into tears. They don't have enough plate jugglers on TV anymore. I think that's one thing that's lost us. Anyway, a massive trove of digital restored clips I'm reading here from the Ed Sullivan Show will arrive online during the next 3 years. Reviving more than 10,000 long-buried performances and guest appearances from the iconic variety show. I was saying the other day, you know, we're those of us are in lockdown and quarantine, and I'm revisiting things that I haven't, you know, stuff I didn't see, stuff I'm going to look at again. Seems to me that that's a great example of what are the rights involved in these performances. Any idea?
Well, it depends on, I wonder who's producing the show. If it's somebody that already owned the rights or got the rights from them in the first place, you know, whenever they sign up to do the show, they will lay out the terms of, you know, can they use the show in years later in a, you know, box set or something of all the shows.
Universal Music Enterprises acquired digital rights. I don't know. I'm not even sure what digital rights are, but in a deal with SOFA Entertainment. Anyway, I'm just curious, as it's sort of artists die, but their stuff lives on, you know?
Yeah.
So talk about that. There's got to be more of this than less coming up here.
Yeah, I mean, that when the artist dies and their music lives on, that's copyright law, is that you can still, they still, either them or obviously not them, their estate would own it.
Right. Do you anticipate, what kind of, I was going to say, do you get calls like this? Do people just call in the out of the blue and say, you're a lawyer, can you help me? I'm looking at that. I was, when I printed off some stuff about the Neil Young suit here, and there's a pop-up ad here that says, connect to a local lawyer, and it's talking about online law. Do you do that at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time. I take people just from off. Online, they look at our website and then they want to come and contact us, especially, you know, there's some interesting cases with the whole pandemic going on,
right?
Whether or not somebody, you know, there's a lot of, you see all these songs of famous artists that are changing the lyrics of the song to be COVID friendly or to match the time. But a lot of the times what people don't realize that even if they were the original performer on the song, they don't even have the right to change the lyrics to the song because somebody else might own it. So it's a lot of sifting through that. Can they play it? How can they play it? You know, where do we get the rights from in the first place? How do we go about finding that sort of thing? If you do a cover song, if you do a straight cover song, that's one thing. You can't. You do have the right to cover a song, but if you change the lyrics at all, you got to get permission.
Right. You know, Ellen Hamm, your dad, and you and I dealt out. I'm trying to remember exactly what this was. I think it was that piece. I think it was a photograph of President Obama.
It was a Warhol. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about, right? That at some point,
right.
If you add artistic value to it.
Right.
That's different than just, ripping it off.
Right. Yeah, totally. We're talking about Al Yankovic. But actually, Weird Al Yankovic does ask permission for his song.
You know, after you told me that, I had no idea. That was breaking news. Don't make me go to my Al Yankovic library here. I'll play.
It's notorious because that's why he never used Prince, because Prince said no.
I know. I don't think.
You'd be surprised at the amount of artists that say no, even during for COVID. You know, even if it is a positive message and they want to change the lyrics to, for some reason, you know, people say no, and that's their right.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I've written a few not very good things in my life, but I do have an opinion about that, and I can see how people want to come in and sort of sit on your couch for a while and then leave, you know, in the creative process. I get what you're saying. You'd think they'd say fine, but I don't know. Part of these artists are not politicians, right? I mean, that's the funnel.
Or business people for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to be more and more these days now that artists are more and more independent and don't have a label, you know, to cover them, but. Right, yeah. They can't just be artists. They have to be businessmen. They have to be TikTok connoisseurs and know how to market themselves.
TikTok.
And get out there.
God, I'm going to burst into tears. TikTok.
Yeah.
Tell me.
They can't go to Wolfman Jack with their record anymore, and if they get played, all of a sudden they're going to get signed to Warner or something, you know? That's not the way it works anymore.
Yeah. Well, I know. I've been doing this for too long, and some of these questions fly out of my mouth. I'm thinking, like, what year are we in? But. I think though. All right, let me ask you kind of a pencil to the paper question. There's something about valuing. I think it's the price of albums that is set at a certain level now. It's a price per download versus streaming, stuff like that.
Right.
I'm assuming you're up on all this.
Yeah,
I try
to keep up as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. do musicians, for example, the show here, we actually buy the music and from whatever that is, iTunes, and we download it. But I guess I could stream it. Do artists make any money at all with streaming?
It really depends on how famous, how big of a band they are or not. And also, like I said, how good they are at working algorithms, because on things like Spotify, you can get noticed if you're on the right playlist. So if you, put yourself in the right genre and people discover you through listening to their artists and then, you come up as a suggestion, things like that can really make a difference. So you have to know that background.
What is the most successful of these intellectual property cases you've been involved in, and what's the least successful?
I don't litigate cases, luckily.
Right, okay.
So, yes. So,
how about involvement in something like that? I'm sure you give advice to people, right?
Oh, my gosh. I guess the greatest successes is where you can. So there's a big argument now whether or not people should sign to major record labels or be independent. But there are cases where you can kind of go halfway in between. So one of my artists is a young kid, and he was really good. He has a great song in the first place, but that doesn't, hardly matter if you can't get it heard. And he's really good at marketing himself. And he found a way where he could get a marketing deal just for that song and not for his whole self and everything that he does for the next 5 years. And he's kind of screwed into a whole advanced situation. So that was a major success, I thought. And it was interesting to note how the music industry is changing. They don't necessarily... I think the labels now are becoming more artist-friendly because of the history of really using and abusing artists and unfair deals, especially for the young artists that might not be so business savvy.
Well, everything you told me, I'm not trying to flatter you, but this is all breaking news. I'd never dreamed of that you'd get a marketing thing based on one song.
Absolutely, and you get an advance, too. And, whether or not you want an advance is a whole other discussion. because you have to pay back advances, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, just to have one song and still be free as an artist. And so I deal with contracts, just transactional contracts. And these are the kinds of things that I really have to look into the nitty-gritty to make sure that they are not taking more than the artist is agreeing to give in terms of the rights and all of that.
This is Carla Hamm on the line, C-A-R-L-A, Hamm, H-A-M, an entertainment attorney. She and Eldon Hamm are our unofficial attorneys general on the show, and we thought we'd ask her to come on today. I'll tell you what, I'm going to open up this other line here. If you have a moment and a thought, do it right now. It's a 773-907-0724. Call up. I'll see if I can make the machine work. I think I got something. Oh, my goodness. It looks like a blinky light here. Let's see here. Hello? Hello?
Oh, hi. This is Carrie calling into the show.
Hi. Hi. You're on the radio. I'm sorry. Say your name again.
Carrie Leiterson.
Carrie, how are you? Are you, Carrie, are you still in California? You were, right?
I am, yeah, just for another week. Then I'm heading back to Chicago.
Okay, I hope we talked to Natasha. I hope we're going to be able to get you on and do a little bit of a thing here. So.
Oh, and no worries if you can't. No worries at all. Natasha told me about the topic.
I thought
it sounded fun, but no pressure to get me on.
Let me introduce you to Carla Hamm. This is Carrie Leiterson. I think we've got this going. Carrie's a journalist, Carla. And can you each hear each other? Carla, you can hear Carrie. Carrie, you can hear Carla?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty well.
Yeah, okay. I'll translate.
Okay, great.
If necessary here. So, Carrie, you had a question, I think.
Yeah, and it's a great topic, and I wasn't able to hear the first part of it, so you may have already addressed this, but it's so interesting, so thank you. I was telling one of your producers that I was at a Trump rally in Milwaukee in January, covering it as a journalist, and just hearing the music played at the rally was really interesting, and it was a lot of music that I really like, you know, a lot of, like, classic rock, and I think most of the artists are not Trump supporters or, you know, have even denounced Trump and asked him not to play their music, and my understanding is that, you know, there's really nothing artists can do, you know, but that's, I guess, part of my question, or is my question. Are there any particular requirements for playing music at a rally, and do they have to pay royalties, or can an artist actually prevent a candidate from playing their song at a rally or for people waiting in line for a rally if they want?
We did cover this a little bit, and it comes down to asking for permission, but let me ask you this quick. Maybe we can kind of throw things in. I'm curious, what other music was being played at the Trump rally in Milwaukee?
There was definitely Elton John, Queen for sure.
Queen?
I think Bruce Springsteen, who, you know, obviously is doing music for the DNC and for the Democrats. I think Creedence Clearwater Revival probably might have
good
been some
song.
What did I say? Carla, say again, what?
I said those are really good songs.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
That's almost, listen, not to knock anybody, but, you know, if it's, I don't know, if it's like they're playing Johnny Mathis or something, who cares? But you know what I mean? Some of the stuff that we really like, I can see how that that gets going. So, Carrie, were you wearing your journalism hat? Were you into this at all, this notion of rights and what was going on between, you know, not just Trump, but any of these artists? Is that something that's you've been looking at as news?
I haven't looked at that angle at all. I just noticed it as I was there, and I was kind of curious about it.
Right. They are infringing. I mean, as far as I can tell, there's still cases going on right now. But as we talked about a little bit earlier, that they are – musicians do have rights. You can't just play somebody's music without licensing it in some shape or form. Enforcing it might be a little bit more difficult, but – musicians do have recourse for that sort of thing.
Is it true in American justice that the person with the most money normally prevails? I know that's a jaded sort of thought, but I guess for both of you here, a friend of mine wrote a movie, and it was stolen. I know this to be the case by a major studio. treatment, whatever, who knows. But the point was, you know, this guy did not have, should we say, deep pockets. And I wonder how much of these, I guess where I'm going with that, I mean, the people, I was going to read something in a couple of minutes here about the Trump world and how much money they have. But, I mean, if it really comes down to who's got the dough, Carla, what about
right.
that?
Right. I mean, and that kind of is a stick, right?
Yeah.
I know artists that, you know, you always have some lunatic, even especially with these smaller artists, which is my, you know, that's my kind of bread and butter. Those are the ones that I really love to work for. The up-and-coming ones are the ones that never want to be up-and-coming.
But they don't
and
have any.
A lot of times, right, yeah, and they don't have any money. So a lot of times there will be lunatics that claim that they stole their songs. I actually just had a case right now that I was talking about with one of my clients where there's a guy that's threatening to sue him for stealing his song, and he did not steal the song. He did not steal the song. It's just some lunatic and who wants to get attention or is upset maybe that he's not getting enough attention or who knows what the reasons are.
Yeah.
And, you know, my friend took it down from the Spotify platform because he's afraid to get sued over it, you know, because he doesn't have the money to fight it in court, and that's just awful.
This is Carla Hamm on the phone here. Carla is an entertainment attorney, and Carrie Leiterson is on the other line here. She's a journalist. I was just occurring to me that I don't know anything about lawyers, but journalists, we're always getting questions from people who, what did you just say, lunatics?
Were they...
Right.
That's a friendly way to put it, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, Carrie, you know what I'm talking about. They call and, you know, I have information for you. But with the lawyers, you know, it's kind of the same. I mean, you're spending part of your time just, you know, wading through stuff, right?
Well, yeah, but the part of the beauty of my job is that I get to work with artists and artists that really believe in themselves. So, it, you know, sometimes they have, you know, their ideas are a little bit on the delusions of grandeur side, but that's what makes them so great at what they do, right?
Yeah.
You got to take the good with the bad, and it's exciting, to say the least.
Let me ask you a bonehead question, Carla, and I have something for Carrie here. What's the difference between an independent label and not? Now, back in my day, there were not any, you know, you could name all the record labels on a hand, right? So the notion of an independent label was kind of anything smaller. And I don't know, when you talked about independent versus major, I don't know, even know what that means. So what about that?
Well,
is that sort of how one defines it? Or?
It's a really great question. Typically, there's the majors. And then if you're not a major, then you're an independent. But a lot of times, some of the majors, like take, you know, Atlantic or Warner or Sony or any of those guys, because a lot of people don't want to be signed to a major, they will actually have subsidiaries underneath them with other names. So it looks like the artist is independent, but really they are affiliated with the major label. So, yeah. And also it also the terms for the artists are different depending on the labels too.
Wow. Carrie, anything else to ask before we let the,
Going back to the kind of Trump rally questions, so like say there's a, you know, a nonprofit group or a family or whatever who's having like a gathering in a park and they're playing music, like are they technically supposed to be licensing those songs too?
Yeah.
And if so, I guess people probably, you know, violate that all the time, right?
Yeah, people do. You know, it's hard to enforce, but if you're playing it for a small gathering, not profit, you know, it's different. Non-for-profit organizations, whether or not they can use music is a whole other category. But if you're playing music in a park, you know, for your family or friends, that is actually included in your license. So if you don't realize it, but when a lot of people don't realize it, but when they are paying for iTunes, they are paying for a license that you can use it for home use, which includes family or friends or a small party.
But you're probably not allowed to broadcast with it. Don't answer that.
I won't.
You guys, what a delight to have you join us here, Carrie. And Carla, you have informed me, honest to God, every time we talk about this, I guess I thought everything was kind of static, but it's not.
It's not. It's always changing.
Anyway, Carla Hamm, C-A-R-L-A, Hamm, H-A-M, an entertainment attorney. And her website, I believe, is on our website. So go to bleep.network. And you'll get the scoop on that. Carrie Leiterson, don't go to any Trump rallies before you call me. And maybe we'll get you on next week if we can.
Oh, great.
great.
Thank you. Thank you for calling us. All right, Carrie, yes. we'll say goodbye to you. Be well, all right? I'm in California. And Carla, you be well, too.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Hi to Mr. Eldenham and tell him.
Will do.
Tell him he slept through
He's
this.
He's probably listening right now, as a matter of fact.
I am indebted to people who inform us on the radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one today.